إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Ça fait de l'Ossalmanidjian, please straighten the rows. Please fill in the gaps. Please ensure trousers above ankles. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. جماعت کا کوئی پروگرام ہے؟ جماعت کا بھی کوئی پروگرام ہے؟ انشاءاللہ after the remaining دعا the lessons of حدیث from Riyadh al-Salihin will take place. For the request to participate, انشاءاللہ بقیہ دعا کے بعد درس حدیث ہوگا. ساتھی شرکت فرمائے انشاءاللہ ضرور فائدہ. اللہم انت السلام انت السلام جماعت اللہم سنیا نسینا ونشاء بغفر ورحمة جوزه وتعالى لك أدعى وسلم صلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رحمتك يا رحمة. إن شاء الله brief lesson of hadith will take place. Brothers do participate. إن شاء الله it's beneficial. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ما بعد. باب الوالي العادل. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وقال تعالى وأقسطوا إن الله يحب المقسطين. صدق الله العظيم. This next chapter Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought, it's tied or connected to the previous chapter. is called, or he's titled it, the chapter of Al-Wali Al-Adil. Wali, a governor, Amir, responsible person, leader. Adil, someone who is just and fair. That the main quality that should be found inside of any zimmedar, any responsible person, is justice, fairness. That they have to be moderate. And adil is moderation. Moderation. That they cannot be extreme. You can't have ifrat tafreed. Ifrat tafreed. You can't be extreme in one way or extreme in the other way. There has to be a perfect balance in a person's temperament, in a person's behavior, in a person's outlook to other people. A person has to have moderation. So this is adl. So he brings the two ayat. The first one has already passed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to have adl, to be just, to be fair. That subhanallah, this ayah is so beautiful that the ulama say, if it was just for this ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِيِ. Three things Allah Ta'ala is instructing us to do. Three things Allah Ta'ala is instructing us to stay away from. The ulama say, if it was just this ayah found inside of the Qur'an, then the Qur'an would be تِبِيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً. That this Qur'an would be an explanation for everything. If you just found this one ayah in the Qur'an. Now Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say, this ayah, if only Allah Ta'ala had revealed this ayah, then it would have been sufficient for the people. There would be nothing else needed. Allah Ta'ala is instructing us to be just and fair in all of our dealings. Well, ihsan, and to strive for perfection and excellence in everything we do. Be the best version of yourself. وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. And one of the most important things when it comes to being excellent, one of the most difficult things, is to be good to family members. Although this إِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى falls under إِحْسَان, because of the importance of it, it has been separated. إِحْسَان and then وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. Matlab, إِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى is part of إِحْسَان. إِحْسَان, the meaning of إِحْسَان is that you are always trying to fulfill the commands of Allah Ta'ala in the best way in all aspects of life. But because one of the most difficult parts or difficult aspects of this is huququl ibad. And that's why huququl ibad has been separated. Wa ita'i dhil qurba. And then Allah Ta'ala is instructing us to do three things. Stay away from three things. Wa yanha anil fahsha. Fahsha are the most disgusting, worst of sinful things. Like zina and the things connected to zina, the ulama say. And then munkar. Munkar are all bad things, all sinful things. And baghi. Baghi is zulm, oppression. Harming other people, hurting other people. Three things Allah is telling us to do. Three things Allah is telling us to do, stay away from. That's the whole of deen in a nutshell. Subhanallah, so beautiful. The one tribe, they heard that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I think it was the Banu Bakr tribe, they heard that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is claiming nubuwa, prophethood. So they sent a person, go and find out what this man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. This man came into Medina Munawwara and he heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recite this ayah. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi. He said, that's enough. I know he's a true prophet of Allah. That the whole, this is such a beautiful ayah that this is enough for the whole of mankind's salvation, for the whole of mankind's success. That's all I need to know. I don't need to know anything else from him. So such a powerful ayah. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullah has brought it here again, because this chapter is talking about a governor, a leader, a ruler, a zimmedar, responsible person, that they need to have the quality of justice. They need to be fair. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَقْسِطُوا, and be just and be fair. Have iqsat. Iqsat, to be fair. And then there's qusut, in Arabic qusut. Qusut is to be oppressive. And iqsat is to be fair. So two different words. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Allah Ta'ala loves those who are just and fair. They treat other people fairly. And the definition of fairness means that you let people trample on your rights, but you don't trample on other people's rights. And so in the hadith, so beautiful hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, أَدِّ الْأَمَانَةَ إِلَىٰ مَنِ تَمَنَكَ وَلَا تَخُلْ مَنْ خَانَكَ. That someone who trusts you with something, make sure you fulfill that trust. If someone betrays your trust, make sure you don't betray them. Always have the upper hand of goodness and khair. That whatever is being done to you, overlook, forget, forgive. But make sure that you are standing on the right side of the line. You are always doing the correct thing.
وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال سبعة يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله إمام عادل وشاب نشأ في عبادة الله تعالى ورجل قلبه معلق في المساجد ورجلان تحابا في الله اجتمعا عليه وتفرقا عليه ورجل دعته امرأة ذات منصب وجمال فقال إني أخاف الله ورجل تصدق بصدقة فأخفاها حتى لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه ورجل ذكر الله خاليا ففاضت عيناه متفق عليه.
This hadith has appeared in many different chapters because each part of this hadith is relevant to different chapters. The Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, seven people, Allah ta'ala will shade them in his shade on the day where there will be no other his shade, there will be no other shade except for Allah's shade. Some people translate this as the shade of Allah's throne. But Imam Nawawi rahmatullah and others have mentioned the hadith says, Allah's shade. What does that shade look like? Allah knows best. That there will be a special zil, special sayah, special shade for these special people. And there will be seven categories. Other hadith mention other categories of people as well. But this is the most general hadith where these seven special people have been mentioned. And the first one, Imamun Adilun. A leader, a governor, a ruler, and the ulama say, and from these hadith that will come later, we understand, there's Imamatul Akbar. You know, a greater leadership where you're a leader of a country, leader of a town, leader of a nation, but everybody has some form of leadership. That's why in the previous chapter, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi, under the chapter of Imama, he brought, Kullukum Ra'in. Every single one of you is a shepherd. You all have some form of leadership. We all have some form of leadership. Some form of responsibility, some form of mas'uliyah. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah is going to ask me about that. Hey, this person was under your leadership. This person you were responsible for. A boss, his employees, they're all underneath him. A father, his children are underneath him. A husband, his wife is underneath him. Elder brother, his younger siblings are all underneath him. All of these people we are responsible for. So obviously this is a smaller form of leadership. The greater leadership is nation and country and, higher form of khilafah, etc. Imamun Adilun, the first person who will be under Allah's throne is an imam who was fair, he was just. He did not do zulm. Anyone in any position of power, it's very easy to fall into ifrat tafrit. You got money, you fall into ifrat tafrit with money. You spend too much, you spend extravagantly, you spend where you don't need to spend. Imama is where you got a position of leadership power, zulm happens. Because you think it's very easy to do zulm on those people who are underneath you. Even a father on a child, on their children. You know, my child can't say to me, Dad, you're doing zulm on me. Because he's a child. So sometimes without realizing, a father's behavior can fall into zulm. A mother's behavior can fall into zulm. Because it's very easy for them to do that to someone who is underneath them, their children. Elder siblings' behavior with the younger sibling can constitute zulm. How many incidents we hear where the elder sibling is depriving the younger siblings of wirasa? Parents have passed away, the elder sibling says, you guys never did anything for mum and dad. You know, why should you get a share? And they take the share, they take all of it, or they take the best of it, or they take the better things, and the younger siblings are crying, talking amongst each other, that look, elder brother, he's not being very kind. But we don't know how to address him. Because it's easy for those who are our subordinates, those who are underneath us, to fall into zulm. So that's in small, small scenarios, where in a house, in a family, in a business, but this person is the leader of a whole country, many countries, many cities, many towns. For this person to be just and fair is very, very difficult. And subhanAllah, it's so special to Allah Ta'ala when he realizes, I can be mean. I can say, okay guys, nobody come and disturb me now. My door is closed. Nobody can do anything to me. I can do whatever I want. But he says, no. This beggar, this poor person, this old man, this old woman, this child, Allah will ask me about him, Allah will ask me about her, Allah will ask me about them on the day of Qiyamah. Doesn't matter if I'm tired, doesn't matter if I'm exhausted, doesn't matter if I'm busy, I need to make time for them. I need to help them. I need to go out of my way for them. So subhanAllah, the Khulafa al-Rashidin, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, an example I was talking about last week. He would patrol at night time. Any time any weak person, poor person would come and address Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, although Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was known for his jalal and he was known for his, temper before Islam, subhanAllah, when he became the Khalifa, whatever, the weakest, poorest person says anything, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu himself would go to their attention and he would do whatever they would need them to do. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when he became Khalifa, this old lady was crying. So you know what, Abu Bakr, every day he comes to our houses, the widows of Medina. He cleans our houses, he goes and gets our shopping, he does all of this. Now he's a Khalifa, you won't have time for this Abu Bakr anymore. Abu Bakr said, no. I'm going to do the same thing I was doing before I became Khalifa, there's no change. Whatever you need me to do, I will do it. And subhanAllah, his routine did not change. Every day he would go to the poor widows of Medina Munawwara. What shopping do you need? Can I help you? Can I assist you? And subhanAllah, this is the tarz and this is the methodology and the legacy of the Sahaba, and it trickled down through the pious people. Khidmat, you know, like just giving themselves for the people. What do you need us to do? What do you need us to do? You know about the great scholar, Darul Deoband Mufti Azizur Rahman Sahib, Rahmatullahi Alayh. He's a great Mufti. He wrote Fatawa Darul Deoband, a huge voluminous fatwa book. Subhanallah, you know what if he was not in madrasa, you know what he'd be doing? Fixing this person's roof, getting this person's groceries. Anybody had a leak, Mufti Sahib, I got a leak on my roof. He'd come, I'm coming. Put his lungi on and he'd run there and he'd start fixing the roof. So, you know, aware that I'm nothing. My job is to serve people. In whatever capacity people need my services, that's it. I'm a servant of the people. Servant of the people, matlab, there's no formality. You know? It's not that people need to be my service because I'm something. I am, the fact that Allah has given me ilm, the fact that Allah has given me position, means I need to use that ilm and that position to serve people even more. And that's the third, that is the legacy of the Sahaba. That's the legacy of the Anbiya alayhi salam, and the legacy of the Sahaba. So, you know, Sayyidina Salman Farsi, he's an old Sahabi, the eldest of the Sahaba. Subhanallah, man walks into Madain, and Sayyidina Salman Farsi is made the governor. And he sees Sayyidina Salman Farsi wearing tattered clothes, old clothes, standing near the gate. And he thinks he's a noker, a servant. He says, here, take my things, carry my things, I'll pay you a wage. Sayyidina Salman Farsi carries everything without saying anything, takes it all the way there. People are following him. People are saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? He's the governor of Madain, the biggest city in the whole of Faris, Persia. He said, oh, he's the governor. I'm so sorry. I didn't know. Please forgive me. Please put it down. He said, no. You've given me a job to carry this. I will carry this. I will take it to where you need to. Don't treat me special. Don't treat me any different to the way you treat anybody else. This is the legacy of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum. Imamun Adilun, the first person who will be under the shade of Allah's throne. Washabun nasha'a fi ibadatillahi ta'ala, a youngster who is raised in the worship of Allah ta'ala. A young man, the time of all of his desires and shahwat, and subhanAllah, he has the capacity and the ability to fall into every type of sin, but he says, no, I can't do it. He sacrifices all of that for the sake of, out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So beloved is he to Allah ta'ala, that subhanAllah, he will be under the shade of Allah's throne. Like Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar, when he saw this young boy crying, he's looking at a fire, he said, young boy, why are you crying? A fire is burning, why are you crying? Out of fear. You're a young boy. He said, I noticed that when the fire is being lit, the small logs are being thrown first before the big logs are thrown in. That's why I'm crying. Maybe I will go into Jahannam before all the other people. Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar broke. He said, look at this young boy and his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ, a person whose heart is attached to the masjid. SubhanAllah, like a fish in the masjid. الْمُؤْمِنُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ كَالسَّمَكِ فِي الْمَاءِ, a believer in the masjid is like a fish in water. وَالْمُنَافِقُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ كَالطَّيْرِ فِي الْقَفَسِ, a hypocrite in the masjid, munafiq in the masjid, is like a bird in a cage. When am I going to finish? Imam said, taking too long. Bayan taking long. Khutbah taking long. Namaz taking long. They come for Jummah, stand near the door. They move forward one step. No. He tell him to go. Why are you telling me to go? I got this to do, got that to do. We don't want to point fingers at anyone. We don't want to think of anyone either. But we need to think about ourselves. Reflect on ourselves. Am I happy to come to the masjid? When I see the time for salah, am I rushing to the masjid? Am I excited? Am I, you know, overjoyed? When I'm in the masjid, do I want to stay here for a longer period of time? I only feel obliged that, you know, I need to go home for responsibilities. That's why I'm going home. But my heart is happy in the masjid. Many of the pious people, you would only see them in the masjid and in their home. You wouldn't see them anywhere else. It's like that servant who's traveling with his master, and it was salah time. The servant goes into the masjid and he's reading his salah, and the master says from outside, "Wait, what's taking so long? What's keeping you in the masjid?" He said, "The one who is keeping you out of the masjid is the one who is keeping me in the masjid." I realize, oh, it's tawfiq. It's not I want to go, I don't want to go. Allah has called him and he has gone happily, and I have not been invited. Then it's that ihsas. وَرَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّ فِي اللَّهِ, two men who love each other for the sake of Allah. اِجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ, they meet each other for the sake of Allah and they leave each other for the sake of Allah. Muhabbat only for the sake of Allah is the most special thing to Allah Ta'ala. Kabir, why are you meeting him? Why are you smiling at him? Why are you hugging him? Why are you shaking his hand? Because I love him for the sake of Allah, he's a Muslim. Whole chapter Imam Nawawi rahmatullah has brought before that the al-mutahabbuna bi jalali, those people who love each other for my sake, I will make them sit on members of Noor on the day of Qiyamah. Who's this special person? يَغْبِطُهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ وَالشُّهَدَىٰ. The Anbiya alayhi salam and the Shuhada will say, hey, who is this? He's sitting on a mimbar made of noor. He was just someone who used to meet his fellow Muslim for the sake of Allah. Out of muhabba, I love him. Why do you love him? For the sake of Allah. And two people, they were meeting each other, and then, you know, the brother pastor, the angels, the hadith mentions, the angels meet them on the roads, and they greet them, and they give salam to them, and they make dua for them. Where are you going? Is he going for any other reason? Do you have any need from him? Do you have any money he owes you? Do you have... No. Got no need. I'm only meeting him for the sake of Allah. This person, Allah Ta'ala loves them so much. وَرَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ إِمْرَاتٌ ذَاتُ مُنْصِبٍ وَجَمَالٍ. A woman calls him, a woman who has a very high position, and she has a lot of beauty. That Mansub, the ulama say, is a very wealthy woman. She's a very beautiful woman. She calls him. Calls him meaning, come, you can do whatever you wish with me. You can have your way with me. Wealthy and she's beautiful. She ticks all the boxes. And what does he say? Inni akhafullah. I fear Allah. A time where every man will become totally, majnoon and majboor, and he says, I fear Allah. I can't do this. And a man, the sixth person, a man who gives sadaqah in such a way that he hides it. He just gives and he gives and he gives and he doesn't count. So much that his left hand doesn't know what his right hand is spending. The ulama say, if somebody, they say, how do you know that? They say, if somebody stayed with him, for example, Haji Sahib is a very generous person, he's giving sadaqah. If I stay with him, I don't know how much he spends. I have no idea. All I can say is, he spends so much. That's what they say. So a person has to have hisab. Some people say it means spend, but you don't know what you're spending. But that sometimes is extreme. That is extreme. You have to have an idea of how much money you have, and you have to budget, and you have to be financially savvy. In the Quran, we learn these usul. وَلَا تَبَسُّطَهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ فَتَقْعُدَ مَلُومًا مَحْصُورًا. Don't just give so much charity that later you regret, ya Allah, maybe I shouldn't have given money there. Now I can't pay the bills. Now I can't pay this, now I can't do that. So we should spend, budget and spend. That this money is for sadaqah, this money is for my family members' needs, and this money is for saving. My father-in-law always says, split your money into three parts. One third should go in sadaqah, one third should go in your family expenses, and one third should be saved. If you can do it, that's the best way. So you have an idea how much you've spent. Even if you make a record, it's fine. It's because you're managing your money well. But if a third person was to sit with you, you're spending so much and you're spending so discreetly without making a big deal. That person has no idea how much you spent. That's how they say. And the seventh person, رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا. A person who remembers Allah Ta'ala when he is alone, فَفَاضَتْ أَيْنَاهُ, and does a dhikr of Allah, and his tears flow from his eyes. SubhanAllah, this is the most precious tear, the tear that is shed out of the fear of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. This person will also be under the shade of Allah Ta'ala. So here it's about the Imam Adil. وعن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن المقسطين عند الله على منابر من نور الذين يعدلون في حكمهم وأهليهم وما وليوه. رواه مسلم. سيدنا عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما narrates that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم has stated, indeed the مقسطين, those people who are just and those people who are fair and they treat others with fairness, on the day of Qiyamah with Allah Ta'ala, they will be made to sit on members of Noor. Kabay, this person was a just person, a fair person. He did not do dhulm on anyone. On anyone! We underestimate how easily we ourselves fall into dhulm. Dhulm on our spouses, on our wives, those who Allah has made us directly responsible for. It's a responsibility we have taken. I am going to be just and fair to this lady who I've taken. I've taken her away from her parents. I have said to her father, you don't need to worry, you don't need to be zimmedar of her anymore, you don't need to look after her anymore, I'll do it. Now if I do not fulfill her rights, that is dhulm. These children, a ni'mah Allah has given them, children, innocent children, they do no harm. Whatever they do, being naughty, not sleeping, all of this, if that, then I'm smacking them, I'm hitting them, shouting at them. Parents swear at their children. They swear at their children. This is severe dhulm, major sin. A person has no balance, moderation. They don't understand how to control their temper. So this is the issue. So those people who are just and fair in all their dealings with everyone, they're fair, they will be made to sit on mimbars of Noor. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, الَّذِينَ يَعْدِلُونَ فِي حُكْمِهِمْ, those people who are fair in their rule and governance over others, وَأَهْلِيهِمْ, and they are fair with their family members. They don't do zulm on their family members. So what I was explaining here. وَمَا وَلِيُّ, and anyone who they have any form of responsibility over. They are just and fair. Allah will make them sit on mimbars made of Noor on the day of Qiyamah. How easy. Just be, don't do zulm on people. Always treat people fairly. Always forgive, forget, overlook, smile, say it's okay. You know, be kind, be nice. وعن عوف بن مالك, just two hadith inshallah, we'll finish and the chapter is finished. وعن عوف بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول خيار أئمتكم الذين تحبونهم ويحبونكم وتصلون عليهم ويصلون عليكم وشرار أئمتكم الذين تبغضونهم ويبغضونكم وتلعنونهم ويلعنونكم. قال قلنا يا رسول الله أفلا ننابذهم؟ قال لا, ما أقاموا فيكم الصلاة, لا ما أقاموا فيكم الصلاة. راه مسلم قولوا تصلون عليهم تدعون لهم. سيدنا عوف بن مالك رضي الله عنه narrates, I heard Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, the best of your leaders are those that you have muhabba for them, you love them and they love you. These are the best leaders, that they are so good to you that you have muhabba for them, and because they fear Allah regarding you, they have muhabba for you, they love you. وَتُصَلُّونَ عَلَيْهِمْ, you make dua for them. The ulama also say, either it means you make dua for them, you're so happy with them, you make dua for them. They say it could also mean that when they pass away, you're so happy you attend their janazah. تُصَلُّونَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَيُصَلُّونَ عَلَيْكُمْ, and they are such good rulers and leaders that they make dua for you. Or it could mean that when you pass away, they attend your janazah out of khair khahi for you and out of goodness for you. And the worst of your leaders are those that you hate them and they hate you. The ri'aya, the populace, the population can't stand their leaders, despicable people. And the leaders can't stand the population. We hate these people. We're just forced. We just want to be politicians. We just want to be elected. We just want to have a higher salary. But we don't care about them. We hate them. Don't close the door. Don't let them talk to us. You know, and this is what we see now, where there's a barrier and a gap between the leaders and the population. The leaders say, we'll just, you know, enjoy the politics, but we don't actually want anything to do with the people that we are ruling. We don't want to talk to them, we don't want to see them, we don't want to hear from them. We want to run away from them, hide from them. وَيُبْغِذُونَكُمْ, you hate them, they hate you. وَتَلْعَنُونَهُمْ وَيَلْعَنُونَكُمْ, you make la'nat upon them, they make la'nat upon you. You make la'nat upon them, you hate them so much, you want them to be finished. And they hate you so much, they want you to be finished. They want you to leave them alone. Enjoy power, enjoy authority, enjoy the wealth that power brings. And then the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, أَفَلَا نُنَابِذُهُمْ, should we not snatch our bay'ah away from these people? We've given bay'ah to these people. If they do not fulfill our rights, should we not leave them? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, as long as they continue to lead you in salah. Your job is as-sam'u wa-ta'a, listen and obey, follow. Because as soon as you start breaking away, as soon as you start turning against your leaders, what will happen? Chaos, fitna upon fitna. Everybody will say, I'm a leader. He's a bad leader, I'm a better leader. He's a bad leader, I will be a better leader. Leave the leader as they are. If they are doing wrong things, make dua for their guidance. And as long as they are Muslim and they are following the laws of Allah and they are doing salah. Salah is the most important fard. As long as they are doing that much, continue to follow them. And the last hadith, inshallah, وعن عياض بن حمار رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول أهل الجنة ثلاثة ذو سلطان مقسط موفق ورجل رحيم رقيق القلب رقيق القلب لكل ذي قربى ومسلم وعفيف متعفف ذو عيال. سيدنا عياض بن حمار رضي الله مسلم. سيدنا عياض بن حمار رضي الله عنه narrates, I heard Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, the people of Jannah are three. The ulama say this means this will be the main three types of categories of the people of Jannah. They will generally fall into one of these three categories. The first one, ذو سلطان مقسط موفق, a person who has some leadership. He's a leader in the dunya. But he was muqsit, he was very just and fair on the people that he was leading. And muwaffaq, Allah Ta'ala had given him the tawfiq, the ability to always do the right thing. It's the first category. And the second category is وَرَجُلٌ رَحِيمٌ, a person who is rahim, merciful. Merciful person. رَقِيقُ الْقَلْبِ لِكُلِّ ذِي قُرْبَى مُسْلِمِ, he was soft-hearted towards every relative and towards every Muslim. People of Jannah broadly are going to be in three categories. First category are those people who are leaders, who were very fair and just in their leadership. The second category are going to be soft-hearted people, merciful people, who were, you know, رَقِيقُ الْقَلْبِ, very soft-hearted towards every family member and towards every Muslim. This will be majority of the people of Jannah. Soft-hearted people, the nice people, the very genuinely caring, kind people. And the third group of people is عَفِيفٌ مُتَعَفِّفٌ ذُو عِيَالٍ, those people who stay away from begging from others. They don't show their needs in front of others, but they are ذُو عِيَال, they also have families to provide for. So two things here. One is that they are independent, and they only ask from Allah Ta'ala, they don't ask from people, but they're not only responsible for themselves, they have a whole family to provide for, but still they keep their needs only to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Their ihtiyaj, their reliance, their tawakkul, their barosa is only on Allah Ta'ala, and they do not display their needs in front of people. These will be the third type of people in Jannah. Everybody has difficulties, financial difficulties, especially the bigger your family, the more responsibilities. You live in a one bedroom house, flat. You've got two children, three children now, you're two bedroom, three bedroom, four bedroom. It's not very easy to get these things. You need, children need this for education, they need bags, they need books, they need this, that. So much financial burden falls upon that person, but he is afif, he stays away from any form of, you know, disobedience of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Muta'affif, he does not express his needs in front of people, only in front of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala he asks from. At the same time, Allah knows that he has a whole family to provide for. This person is so beloved to Allah that this will be the majority of the people of Jannah. Not very wealthy people, not people who have a lot of money, who have a lot of assets and wealth, etc., but people who, even though they have so many mouths to feed, they still rely only on Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. These will be majority of the people of Jannah. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, make us from these categories, make us from these groups. Allah Ta'ala, give us tawfiq to practice upon these words. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanallah, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.